This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, Multiplying Authentic Leaders, Moving Society. It's absolutely wonderful to be with you. We're going to test technology today. Adrian Groenewald, here as always for our Leadership Masterclass. We've got someone in the US. We've got people in Centurion, Pretoria, South Africa. And then we have myself here right next to Kruger National Park. So we're literally jumping from the bush to Utah in the US and Pretoria, the capital part of South Africa. So let's see how technology will do with this specific challenge. It's great to be with you. For all things leadership, go to leadershipplatform.com. It will be a fascinating conversation as we attempt to bring technology into leadership and managing our people, leading our people. It is our technology transformation feature and technology's impact on leaders. The Technology Transformation and Leadership Show is brought to you by CellC Business. Get 20 gigabytes of data and connect up to 14 SIMs for as little as 199 Rand a month on CellC's new smart data share. The ideal business data solution. CellC, the power is in your hands.
Get double the data and connect up to 14 SIMs on CellC's new smart data share promotion. Now you can share your data and save. That's right, we're doubling the data on our smart data share offer, so you get an incredible 20 gigs plus free Wi-Fi calling for just 199 Rand per month. This and other smart data share offers are available for a limited time only, so buy now. Get it online, go in store, call 084-145 or visit a participating retailer. CellC, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
Hans Schulte, we've had him on before, and we did not have enough time to talk about all the important issues. He's a human capital consultant, corporate creativity engineer, project manager, and co-founder of atverity.ai. And then we have Dr. Brenda Hutton, who was on the show last week, spoke to us about how to learn to think like Nelson Mandela, but more particularly her study of changing our DNA, in fact, so that we can discover our true potential. Fascinating stuff that she's involved with. So, Hans, welcome all the way from the US.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. It's wonderful to be with you. Thanks thanks for the opportunity.
It's very early there, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's 7 in the morning. So, it's been a long night. I've been doing quite a bit of traveling. I did a couple of red eyes this week in and out of Atlanta, in and out of North Carolina, and next week in Texas. So it's been a whirlwind trip, I must tell you.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for giving us some of your time. We know that you're passionate about these things, and let's discuss it, put it on podcast, put it on Cliff Central, our leadership show, and let people know about some of these brilliant principles. Dr. Brenda Hutton, good to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Adrian. It's always an honor to be here and to really communicate around all these wonderful topics. And hi, Hans. I haven't met you yet, but I have to say hello to you as well.
Hi, Brenda. wonderful to hear your voice. Wonderful. Wonderful to hear a good Centurion lady on the line. Remind me of her.
And then, of course, we've got the old man, Louis Groenewald. Louis, welcome.
Great to be with you guys. I'm looking forward to today's session.
All right, folks, let's give this a good bash, bringing technology into leadership and managing our people. I want to start by saying this. I think business has a lot and is always about progressing, be it the product, service, business model, whatever it may be. But surely, ultimately, it's about progressing our people. So without talking technology at this moment and leadership in a little while, just your quick comments on that, Hans, and then Brenda and Louis. It has to be about progressing your people. And what does this mean exactly? Just in general philosophical terms, in today's world, progressing our people, Hans?
Look, I must be honest with you, Adrian. I would say that progressing people is the hallmark of what I do. When people ask me why I do what I do, why I consult, why I build technology, why I travel, why I study, any of those things. To be absolutely honest with you, I'm passionate about people, and I'm completely passionate about people's potential. And so, you know, I am on a very philosophical level, on a very sort of high level, I'm very interested in that as a meta concept. But I'm also very disappointed with how organizations have not progressed their people correctly. Some have done amazing jobs, but the majority just really haven't. And so what we find are people within the organizations of the world, not just South Africa, not just America, but all over the place, that just never really reach their stride, that never have their full capacity tapped, that never really have their voice in the business. And, you know, having consulted for some time, I'm always amazed at the genius that lives within an organization, untapped largely and unheard most of the time. And this, if you really have a look at some of the great stories, some of the great tech stories and some of the great transformation stories, some of the big innovation stories, tapping into the genius of the people that really know what's going on within organizations, i.e. the people at the coalface of the processes, the people that really deal with the problems, that's where amazing things happen. If you have a culture and you have an organization that allows those kinds of things out. So I'm a firm believer in the potential of the human, if we have the right systems in place to allow that to happen.
Yeah, sometimes one gets the feeling that we're somewhat stuck still in the industrial age when it comes to progressing people. And maybe one day when we find out what the true potential of people are and what it could have meant if we really unlocked it, we would realize that even now when we think we're so sophisticated, we are still stuck in a bit of a industrial age thinking when it comes to these issues. But Brenda, your thoughts very quickly on progressing people, what that means?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I really want to sort of connect with Hans on the enthusiasm and all the excitement about this of progressing people. I just want to give you a little bit of background where I'm coming from in terms of progress means moving forward. And there's another one in terms of transformation, helping people to take on a new form. And the other word is transcending, meaning moving into a total new level. So what we have here is two different directions. The one is horizontal and the one is vertical. And what you are actually saying, what I'm understanding, Hans, is that you are disappointed that our organizations and even our leadership development keep on moving in a horizontal level, but not really in a vertical level of taking people to the next level, to the next form, and going through processes for transformation, but also actually giving them the skills and the tools of diving deeper into their personal potential. And I think this is where we need to go, and this is where we need to take companies and organizations, because this is what we need at the moment.
100%. Just to go there with you, Brenda. I mean, I totally agree with you. And for me, it's an efficiency thing, right? So just picking up on what Adrian said, looking at the industrial complex and, you know, where we come from 150 years ago, even how we still teach our children at school, you know, to fit into certain boxes and that has epigenetic results. You know, over time,
that's
and I
right.
know that Brenda will have her perspective on this, but, you know, there's real issues here, but it comes down to efficiency, right? So I don't get overly aggressive with people that are still running those industrial systems, because frankly, they were very efficient and really great for the time.
Well, I must agree with you on that.
Amazing wealth, right?
Yeah, and one must actually give them credit for that.
But it is changing. Yeah, but things are changing, and so technology is allowing us to actually tap into real people and still have efficiency, and I think that's where this whole space is becoming so exciting.
Louis, coming in quickly, and then we can look at technology and what is being developed when it comes to technology to help businesses manage and progress their people. Louis, do you want to add there?
No, I'd just like to hear what we have to say about how technology can, in fact, help penetrate and get through to the, as Brenda spoken on the vertical level.
Just to put something out there for Hans and for Brenda, that we can latch onto later. You've got big corporates who want to create a new leadership culture in their business, or they want to develop their hundreds or thousands of managers over the next few years. As far as leadership is concerned, what they do is they approach universities, let's say, and the universities send someone in, do a couple of interviews, come up with a leadership framework of competencies that they need, put a couple of modules together, throw a few innovative elements into the pot, and voila, a couple of million rand every year. And these hundreds of leaders, even thousands, go through this program. And then a few years later, they approach universities again for the next batch of training, and they do the same thing, but maybe a little better. So maybe the process is better. Maybe they put more pressure on the university to come with better modules. But the whole thing remains the same in some way, shape, or form. And I'm not sure that we're getting this whole thing that you guys have just spoken about. And I think, Brenda, you and Hans would have long conversations. I think you would connect very well. So let's look at technology. Hans, let's look at technology. What is technology developing? Let's start with the basics to help businesses manage and progress their people. Let's look at that for a few minutes.
Okay. Look, on the very basic level, you know, you're seeing the rise of the automation of the HR system. So classically, if you have a look at HR systems, they were originally designed to recruit people, right? So there were basic recruiting systems, and from there, basic technology of keeping track of people that were going through a recruitment process were developed. And then over time, companies have sought comparative advantage as places, as great places to work, through technology. And so you have the advent of what we call ATS, or applicant tracking systems, and HRIS systems, right? So these are proper automated HR systems that really run everything, track people, track their progress, track their track their development plans through a system, track their leave, all that kind of stuff that normally falls by the wayside in a business where people are really, really busy. Now, that's really, on a very basic level, some of the technology that has come to play and is really starting to gain huge amounts of traction just in normal business. Now, as that happens, of course, there's the need to understand people better. As these technologies reach their, you know, their pinnacle or their most useful case, of course, we understand that people and businesses are making decisions predominantly with one-dimensional data, normally quantitative in nature, and normally performance sort of driven in nature. So I don't know if any of you have ever worked for a corporate. I'm sure some of you have, but you know the dreaded performance conversation that comes up once a quarter or twice a year. You know, most people actually view those kinds of conversations with your organization as very negative and punitive normally. And most people that I speak to say that those kinds of conversations never render the truth. And so the kind of technology that we're building and that we're helping people build and implement is really technology that allows an organization in a real-time perspective to have monitoring capabilities. And when I say monitoring capabilities, what I'm actually talking about is being able to understand a person beyond their pure performance, which may be fear-driven, okay? It's normally fear-driven. And trying to tap into people's passion, into their latent drives, into what really makes them tick so that we can start to unleash their potential. Now, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and very interesting ways of deploying technology are starting to make these things possible. That obviously gives humans the capability through aggregating data and through augmenting themselves with great technology, the ability to be recognized in a system where potentially before they were never able to be recognized. And so, yep, technology is definitely making huge inroads in this space.
So before we build on the technology thing, maybe a question to throw in is to explore briefly, and even with Brenda on the other side, what kind of insight from leaders is needed to effectively lead and manage in the new economy. So what kind of insight do leaders need? And then would this kind of technology, this level of technology, give that to them? So first, what insight? What insight must I have as a manager, as a leader, to effectively lead my and manage my people in this economy today?
Adrian, can I jump in here?
I think some of the you go, Brenda.
Okay. I just want to connect with what Hans is saying now in terms of the technology. What we need to understand is that we have created a culture where people flourish on outside-in information. In other words, feedback, what other people tell them in terms of assessment. We have just finished also my part of technology, and I would like to talk to Hans about this, what I call self-mastery. In other words, and this is part of the answer to your question, Adrian, is what do you need to do? You first need to understand yourself, because every single piece of information that comes to you, and as a leader, you have to filter and then base your choices and decisions on the information. But the information is filtered through your own personal filter, meaning you first need to understand who you are, how you function, what your filters are. And as you said, Hans, sometimes people are fear driven. That could stand in the way of actually filtering out very important information. So the whole shift from outside in is now moving to inside out, where people first need to understand who they are, how they function, and then within that parameter be able to identify and then interpret and also then manage from inside out. Now, this wasn't there previously, because this is a higher level thinking, as I said, in terms of the vertical movement and transformation we are going through, meaning we're going from coaching to self-coaching and self-mastery. And all leaders will need to go through that process, that they will be able to make decisions literally at the drop of a pin, and they won't be able to consult people, because change is taking place at such a pace that they will be able to coach themselves, and they will be able to know where they are coming from so that they can lead their people in the right direction. And this is now the next challenge, and our technology gives us the tools to help people to help themselves before they can help somebody else.
Exactly right. So Adrian, yeah, just to jump in on that, you know, the insight that leaders need, I think Brenda's exactly right. The first thing a leader needs to understand is that he is biased. Everyone operates from a position of bias, right? And in a world of political correctness, of a lack of real feedback, you know, it's really difficult for top leaders to actually get real feedback, for instance. I mean, if you're the CEO, you know, you're in a very interesting position as a leader, because you're in control of everything, but you can't trust anything. It's a really interesting place to live. And how do you get real feedback? How do you look in your own mirror and be able to put your bias aside? Now, can you imagine having systems that provide real-time feedback into a system? Sorry, someone wants to jump in. Did I hear someone there?
No. Sorry. I'm enjoying what you say.
I thought I heard somebody jumping in. So can you imagine having real systems that allow people to tap into real feedback real-time in an organization? So let me give you some perspective here, right? So, you know, I work globally. I work all over the place. I live in New Zealand. I consult in America. I consult all over the place. And I have a team that I work with all the time. And I'm connected to that team. And, in fact, I have a very rich relationship with them through social media. Now, when I say social media, I'm talking predominantly around Microsoft Teams. So I run my office through Microsoft Teams. Now, I post videos. I put sound clips. I obviously download meeting notes. I do a whole bunch of stuff on Teams, and we communicate with each other. Now, can you imagine through a linguistics perspective, and Brenda would have a lot to say about this, because I can hear she's a strong psychology person. I can hear she's an inside-out person. You know, over time, if I have a longitudinal qualitative study from a technology perspective on everyone in my organization, I can very quickly understand how people are feeling by virtue of the words that they're using in social media. And so I can have very, very powerful conversations with people based on real data. I think for us, technology is exciting because it takes what Brenda's talking about out of the ambits of sort of the touchy-feely mindfulness space and starts introducing real data and how to move yourself by getting really cool feedback from a system that you work in. And it really democratizes this scenario of feedback, because feedback is I call it the food of the gods, the food of the champions, right? People absolutely need and want and crave good feedback from a system. But frankly, systems don't have the time. Sometimes it's too politically difficult to give. And it's really expensive sometimes because, you know, it's dangerous politically. And so can you imagine if everybody was able to tap into awesome feedback and really know where they stood and really knew what they needed to work on to progress themselves to the next level? I mean, that's a dream of mine, to be able to unleash that within organizations, to let people know where they really are, that they can really start making changes. And of course, that ties into psychology and all other things. So I'm sure, Brenda, you've got a perspective on that.
Yes, I'm very excited to hear what you're saying about this, Hans, because we've just finished developing what I call a personal power intelligence leadership profile. And this whole technology gives you the skills and tools to first manage self and to go within before you start trying to manage without. And what you said just now is that when we have a bias within ourselves, we tend to oversee very important information. And this specific personal mastery profile puts out the biases that we actually have in the form of fears and frustrations. And then it gives the tools that you can immediately use to change that, meaning that you can have the feedback immediately so that you know where you stand so that you can have clarity. And while I was busy researching this, I realized, you know, we can talk about information, and we can talk about a lot of things, but in the end, we are coming back full circle to a fundamental word that we call truth. Because truth resonates at a specific level with everybody, although people might not like it. And the feedback that we get from other people is not always based on the truth, but we have to awaken that. Well, what will we call it? A truth gene or a truth vibe in people, because the moment you connect with this truth, you have clarity on everything, because then you are free from the biases. And when I researched Nelson Mandela, I realized that he stood up for freedom. And freedom in the end means that we will be able to express our total potential. Like you said in the beginning, Hans, the potential, the power, the genius within ourselves. We need to get people to that level of freedom to experience, express this and harness it in companies and organizations so that we can take businesses and whole communities and even countries further. And now I do believe the right technology is now coming to the fore so that we can actually provide people with these skills and tools to be able to do this.
So Hans, just before you jump in there, as I listen carefully, because I know I need you to go right back at Brenda. I like what she says about truth. So how do I first discover my true self, my true potential? How do I coach myself towards the true perspective of me by others of me, by me of me? And so on and so forth. And whatever feedback I'm going to receive, I will filter through all my paradigms and my body and my emotions and everything else. Now, the interesting thing is to what extent technology can, and I liked what you said, just to summarize, that the leader sits at the top. He or she cannot lead this massive business or organization or small business organization without truth, without clear feedback. But because of my title and position, I'm treated differently. There's low trust levels in the business, and it's difficult for me to get to the truth, to see things as they really are. Now we come to what you're saying, this incredible feedback system and the level of feedback that technology might be bringing to the table. So just build on what Brenda says, but bring some more in there. I'm still in my head. I'm thinking I need feedback and truth relating to numbers in the business, relating to the latest sales, relating to latest costs, relating to lots of things. But I certainly need certain truth about my people, the real pulse out there, the climate out there.
So 100%. So a couple of things here. Number one, I've worked in a number of big businesses, sort of big blue chips, and I'll be honest with you, the guys that get the most help are actually the executives. So I'm not that worried about the executives, because you can hear someone like Brenda is developing amazing leadership awakening tools. There's tons of coaching out there. I mean, the executives get a lot of money thrown at them to have self-realization, right? For me, the biggest issue is once an executive has self-realized, he needs to lead an army of people to a place. He's leading an army, but he's actually leading people, right? So for me, the truth and the feedback becomes incredibly powerful when it comes out of the system. Now, in history of work, how do you efficiently get that kind of feedback? Well, we use NPS and we do performance management and we do all of this stuff. But for me, truth, veritas, guys, comes from longitudinal study. So let's just go back to science. You know, the best kind of data comes from longitudinal data. And it's clear. You have a look at the Harvard study on happiness, and you have a look at the Otago study in New Zealand, that, you know, like a 30, 40-year study, longitudinal. The best kind of data comes when you allow humans to be humans and you allow a longitudinal study to be created for them. Now, can you imagine if you had technology that could, on a micro level within an organization, create longitudinal qualitative studies per person and help them understand themselves over time of how they are in a business, how people see them in the business, how they are with the business. And then if you had the ability to aggregate this amazing qualitative truth, longitudinal data with real-time performance quantitative data, correlate those different datas, and you start to really get a very clear picture in your organization of what kind of people you have, where they reside within your organization, who is budding talent, who's frustrated but can't move, who is dragging, who is negative to your culture, who is breaking while they're pretending to be building, who is hitting their performance targets but is actually destroying your team. These kinds of insights become incredibly powerful and are truth when you're trying to lead an organization in a VUCA world, in a very complex, volatile, uncertain, and ambiguous world. These are the kinds of truths that executives need to lead, I believe. And this is what technology is allowing us to do. So I've kind of cracked open Pandora's box there for you, Adrian. But that's what I believe. You know, I believe that the truth needs to flow out of the system. But frankly, it's just too inefficient to do with the old systems. So we need to employ technology to give us monitoring capacity, even machine learning capacity over time, in a longitudinal sense, to really start to see these insights develop into usable bits of information, even dashboards, for an executive to have a look at his organization and say, wow, you know, operations seem to be doing incredibly well. How has that happened? Why have we got so much creativity in operations when in our marketing department there seems to be no creativity? People aren't talking like that. And it's a linguistics thing. So how we actually measure it is a whole other conversation. But my point is, that's what we're working towards, is helping organizations be able to dashboard the things that they have determined strategically are the most important for their business, and then help steer their people by having real-time knowledge and truth, what you guys have called truth. I call it information and powerful data, to be able to say, hey, this is where they are. This is where they need to be. How do we do a gap analysis and help them get to where they need to be? So honoring the human, as well as honoring the business strategy that we need to achieve, you know.
So let's use another example, metaphor almost, that struck me of late. The incredible coaching resources that a top sporting team, rugby team, soccer team would have around them. They would have a coach, an assistant coach, backline coach, team psychologist, physio, doctor, manager, a whole team managing them. And they actually play for 80 minutes once a week in season.
But
you can also record that whole match now, and you can actually go and watch and see exactly factually what happened on the field. And that's where the Americans also have detail and information about every second of every game and statistics of the past and all of that. So now you can actually analyze. You don't just coach off the field. And that's the problem I've seen so much, Hans and Brenda, with a training, leadership training, coaching even, which is the modern form of working with an individual one-on-one, is the fact that it all happens off the field. And you kind of depend on the subjective information and change that this individual brings to you into the coaching environment, let's say, or into the training room. But the data, the real information of how that person is doing in the game, on the field, every day, is missing. So my training happens off the field, my coaching happens off the field, and very little is done on the field. And what I hear you say, Hans, sorry, I'm going on, is I'm almost seeing this picture where I can get absolute clear truth and information about my leader or leaders or managers or employees about what is happening personally, emotionally, maybe physically, performance-wise, on the field. And is that amazing? Is that where artificial intelligence come in? I can hear Brenda wants to jump in. Let Brenda come in quickly. And then
yes, I hear what you're saying there, yes, because what you are actually saying is that one game per week, you're actually just looking at the outcome in a short period of time that was put in for the whole week through all those kind of coaches, and that one gets assessed on that specific match. I want to bring another dimension to this, especially if we get back to the workplace. When we look at human behavior, we function just like the rugby or soccer or tennis or hockey team you've been talking about, Adrian. But we must understand that life is a multi-sport. So meaning if you are actually trained and developed at work to be this leader or this influencer, tonight you go home and you take all those skills with you, and then you influence at least, research has shown, 5 to 7 people that will be your partner or your husband and wife and the children or the family. And then you will go from there to the next level to, in other words, it's a bit more complex just than one more game. So in the end, we need to equip people, my opinion, to be able to do it themselves. And they have to have the skills and the tools to be able to assess self in certain situations while they are on this playing field. And they must be able to adapt and to move and be able to communicate with the other players on the field, if it's at home or if it's on in business or if it's on the sporting field or wherever it may be, to make immediate changes as the game goes along, because no coaching and no mentoring and no training can actually prepare you for everything. You have to think on your feet. And especially with change that's happening moment for moment, we have to equip people with those kind of skills and tools to be able to not only play the game that they are being trained for, but to be flexible to play all the games, because in the end, that's what balance is, and that's what really makes you happy in the end.
I'm just listening. I love your metaphor. I love your metaphor, and I love how Brenda's picked up on your metaphor. But I want to say this to you guys. I remember playing sport at school. And I remember going out for trials, right? And I remember playing my heart out. like playing the best game I've ever played in my life. Guys, I got the ball. I ran like a machine. I smashed people. I jumped. I shimmied. I did everything. And you know what? I didn't make the team. And I remember sitting on the bench thinking, what the heck did I do wrong? I just had the game of my life. Why didn't I make the team? And, you know, the coach didn't walk up to me and say, you know, Hans, you didn't make the team because, well, X, Y, and Z. And I remember sitting there thinking, what do I need to do to make the team? All I wanted to do was be on the team and achieve my goal. And I remember walking away from that practice thinking, well, maybe I should take up a different sport. Maybe I should do something different. Whereas, you know, the reality is, if I had had the truth at that moment, if someone had taken the time to say, look, mate, you know, you are an awesome player, you're very physical, this and that, but you need your head in the game more. You need to actually be more strategic in how you pass and how you do things. I would have been like, far out, that's fantastic. Okay, cool. Now I know what I need to work on. And that is the problem. That's exactly the problem. And that's the leadership problem of today, right? How do we keep awesome talent? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if you go and try and hire some development talent in Seattle, for instance, go and try and get some good development talent in Utah at the moment, if you want to develop some AI or something. You can't get these guys because they're in huge demand. So once you've got them, how do you keep them? How do you help them? How do you help developers? This is a tough choice, right? These are tough questions, and they have real economic, circumstances and realities attached to them. And so for me, the truth is always about saying to somebody, hey, listen, you're playing a great game, but this is how your game could be awesome. And this is how you could make the first 15. Just do this. And sometimes that feedback is really painful because if you hear that you're very physical but you're actually stupid on the field, well, some people don't want to hear that. But frankly, if you want to progress, you need to hear. And we are all dying to progress. I truly believe that. Humans want to reach their potential. People want to be awesome. I don't believe there's any human out there that doesn't actually want to be awesome. They may have lost their hope. They may have lost their way for a while. But there is no human that doesn't want to be great. And so truth, veritas, is one of the most powerful things. And we need to find ways to do that. And, you know, having just touched on this, guys, you know, I believe data and technology is the way to do it. And we're entering that phase. We're entering that time where it's possible because we can build the technology to do these things. I hope that makes sense.
Just want to quickly ask then, what are you saying? Are you saying we're putting a little camera around someone's wrist? The people are walking around with GoPros, with cameras around the offices, or do they swallow a little, you know, like these days with insurance, you drive around with something in your car that tells the insurance company exactly how you're driving. And if you drive really well, you can get discount premium. You know, am I becoming 100%. Like that? Tell us about artificial intelligence, and we can come back to the people.
Yeah, sure. So when you say, okay, have we got a GoPro on our head, or do we swallow a specific pill? No, that's not what we're talking about. That's invasive, right? So what we're talking about is technology that just fits into your normal everyday life. So I mentioned earlier that, you know, I use certain collaborative technology to run my office, to run certain teams at different places in the world at a time. And so in that environment, so let's just talk about this. Humans get their meaning by communication. I mean, right now we're talking. And Brenda said earlier, right at the beginning of the conversation, gee, I like the passion that you bring to this conversation. Well, it's the way I'm talking. All of you understand, potentially, in your biased minds, that I might be a passionate person because of the words I use and the timbre that I use in my voice, for instance. So take that now into a work environment. The kind of words I use in collaborating with my partners, the kind of words I use in meetings, the kind of emails I write, the kind of messages I send, implicit and non-implicit messaging, there's a linguistic meaning behind all of these things. And if you have a look, for instance, at the Myers-Briggs and any of these measurement tools that we try to understand people with, most of them are logic and word-based. And so we build our technology around helping people over time understand themselves and helping an organization understand people by virtue of the words that are being used in context. And we use artificial intelligence to mine that data. Because remember, it becomes a lake the size of, not hard to be a sport. It becomes like a Staffontein, right? It becomes a massive data lake. And so you need technology then to look at these millions and millions and millions of words used in varying contexts to start developing meaning. And then aggregating that qualitative meaning with quantitative meaning, correlating these things, and then looking for aggregated meaning, which then really starts to give you interesting perspective on your people. So no, we're not talking about swallowing a pill or putting a GoPro on. What we're talking about is BAU, business as usual, and then applying interesting technology to help understand where people are at a specific time in their lives. And I could walk you through that technology anytime you guys want it. It's very simple. Writing the code is complicated, but how it works is pretty simple.
Louis, you're 76. On the other side of the scale, you've seen technology and IT grow. That's where years ago you were a partner in an IT firm. This is where we're going. I mean, what Hans is saying is fascinating. We're talking about linguistic patterns, linguistic elements, and that's true. That's also what I'm studying in my executive leadership coaching program at the moment, is the role of emotion, the body, and then linguistic patterns. So, Louis, what are your words, old man?
I think Brenda wants to say something, but Adrian, just one point. To me, the old man, there's a simplicity that comes out of this. You know, we keep on saying leadership is personal. And quite frankly, the more we get involved with people and leadership and great thinkers like we have on the show right now, the more I realize that leadership development is to 90% about the ability to have effective self-auditing models so people can understand themselves better. And we mustn't let technology take that away. We want technology to help us do exactly that. Ultimately, it's the inner person that really matters. And I found this, as you know, this exercise I've done recently with this one group. It's exciting to see the change in behavior when people really start understanding their inner self better. This is where this DNA change that Brenda speaks about with so much passion comes about. So these two on the show are just convincing me more and more that leadership development is greatly a case of proper self-evaluation tool. Ultimately, I have to make the changes in myself. And the outward, even this coaching example you mentioned, Arden, all the information, how much information do they really give about the inner feelings of the people themselves, of the players themselves? It's all outer information, what's happened and plays, etc. I'm just saying that leadership must get back to proper self-evaluation tools. Ultimately, that's where the great secret lies, what I do about my feelings in my own life.
Brenda?
You know, Adrian. Sorry.
Yes,
guys.
Thank you, Adrian. I just want
I
to get
so
back to Hans.
I'm so excited.
yes, this is really exciting stuff. I just want to get back to Hans. I actually want to ask him a question. Because I hear that we are on the same wavelength here and there's a lot of synergy. Hans, something that I have heard and have experienced with my coaching and consultation, also in individually with leaders, but also with companies and organizations, and Adrian, maybe you and Louis and Kevin and everybody in the team, is I have found that we talk a lot about the what to do and how we're going to go through this movement and the transformation and the progression. But we talk a very little about what is the vision we are moving towards. And the question I asked a few leaders the other day is, how do you see the future? And then they would say, okay, well, the technology is going to be like this, and there's going to be artificial intelligence and computer technology. And we all agree on this. This is where it's going to, but it's also going to have a phase, and it's also going to fade again. And the next question I ask them is, how do you think people will think within the next 10 or 15 years? And more important, what will they be thinking? And the next thing is exactly what you have now said, and what Hans and also Louis is, and Adrian, is how will you express it, not only linguistically, but also in terms of body language, in terms of social skills? Because we can talk about these things, but if they're not aimed at a specific vision in the future, then we've got a sort of a diverse, fragmented kind of idea, and we're going to run around in circles, and we get back to what Adrian says. Then all the training and all the leadership is not going anywhere. And an important thing I think we need to do is we have to each start with ourselves and ask, what is my personal vision? Where do I want to be in terms emotionally, mentally? How would I want to talk? How will I like to treat people? But then how do I take my company, and how do I want my company and my people to think? Do they come from positive, like you said, Hans, in terms of fear, or are they coming from a deeper value system? And this is where DNA can also come in. And I have found once you actually solidify a total new vision in terms of how must people think, and what do you think, what is the content they must be thinking or should be thinking? People like Nelson Mandela had a specific content he used to actually change the world. And I found that this is still lacking in training and consulting and coaching. What is your opinion where this is concerned, Hans? And even Adrian, you as well, because all of us are involved. Yeah. What is that vision?
Yeah, look, I love what you're saying there, and I think, you know, I just to answer your question as briefly as I can, but you know, I met with an entrepreneur yesterday, a young guy who's really doing very, very well, and one of the things that he said to me, just talking about his trajectory, I'm actually reading Elon Musk's biography at the moment as well. There's some interesting insights there, but one of the things that both of them said is they got to a place that they loved working at, that they were motivated by love, right? And I thought about that, and I'm always thinking about that. I have at times in my life worked on projects and worked in places where I love the work and I love the people and I love the outcomes. And the outcomes, I may not have even been there to actually see the outcomes happen, but the idea of the outcome happening, I loved it. I was motivated by a deep love. So you're talking about, you know, why, not only the how, but the why and the vision. You know, I think as we help people become who they're meant to be, they're actually motivated there not by fear and not by greed and not by selfishness, but by love. Now, I can't imagine a leader would want anything more than to work with people who are motivated by positive emotions like that. And so how do we tap into people's deep positive emotions? Well, I know, just working with my family, that when I listen to my children, when I spend time with them, when I take an interest in them, and when I help them with their schoolwork, this is how they understand that I love them. And so I'm just taking very basic logic and saying, well, how do we get people to feel those emotions? We take notice of them. We listen to them. We help them. We progress them. But the reality is that we do not have time to do that in a 60,000 person place of work like Rio Tinto. How do we listen to every single employee? How do we give every single employee an opportunity to have feedback real time and feel valued and feel like they love what they do? This is a massive challenge, guys. And that's where technology comes in. So I'm never talking about technology replacing and destroying. I'm talking about technology augmenting, giving us the capacity to tap into people's truth and helping them feel those positive emotions around work. Because when people feel those positive emotions, that's when they are creative. That's when they become their best selves, and that's when they reach their potential. And frankly, that's when we have innovation. And that's what we're all after, guys, because if we're not innovating, we're dying. You know, that's the way the world is at the moment. So I've got a very simple equation that I work with that I help people understand. And, you know, Brenda, what you said earlier, I kind of pitch something to people and I say, well, what is your momentum mirror? When you look in the mirror, what is your momentum like? How do you see your momentum as you yourself look in the mirror? And I ask people to measure themselves against an equation. And this equation, I'm just going to say it. You have to picture this in your mind. So I'll open a bracket and I'll say, the first part of the equation is IQ. In other words, how smart am I? What skills do I have? What studies have I done? Plus EQ. So IQ plus EQ. What is my emotional equation? How good am I with people? Plus TQ. What is my technology quotient? How across technology am I? Plus BQ, which is bloody quick. In other words, what is my capacity to move really, really fast? Can I change really fast?
I like that term.
To the power of CQ, which is creativity quotient, equals awesome. So my equation is IQ plus EQ plus TQ plus BQ to the power of CQ equals awesome. And if you can be honest with yourself and get feedback, veritas, from a system that allows you to push on each of those things, I think you'll be very, very successful in the future. And I think that's what our work is trying to help people be awesome. I hope that answers your question why and how a little bit.
So let's just take the last 5 minutes here. I can't believe we've been talking that long yet so short. So how do we – I mean, I understand as a leader I must know myself like never before. And I guess part of what I would ask now is your formula. How do we train leaders for this kind of future where they may have to tap into – And a very advanced but simple technological environment that gives them accurate feedback about their people and about their business. You're saying IQ, EQ, so a certain level of intelligence, EQ, and then you're talking about the speed, you're talking about technology savvy, and you're talking about innovation. So is that then part of the formula of how the essence skills leaders must have, and that's what we should train them in? Is that the sort of leader that we need to churn through leadership programs, through our one-on-one consulting or coaching, and whatever we do, we have to somehow get to that formula or other things?
100%. 100%. What you've just said now is 100%. You know, your MBA will give you your IQ and maybe a bit of your EQ. You know, your online Wharton course will give you some TQ and some life skills. Your BQ is your coach who helps you understand, hey, change is awesome and change is your paradigm shift. It's a psychology thing, right? Humans hate change, but frankly, change is awesome. The more change, the better. So how do we deal with BQ? And then CQ, everything to the power of the creativity quotient, again, is an unleashing of human potential. How do we tap into our latent child? How do we tap into that most vital part of us that loves to do stuff for the sake of it being beautiful to do? Creativity. How do we make that active in our lives? If you can teach that, I tell you what you're doing is you're preparing people for not only a VUCA world, and I'm sure you guys have heard of VUCA, right? Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Well, I don't believe the world is VUCA anymore. I believe the world is super VUCA. It's super VUCA, man. It's like on steroids. It's so crazy. And so how do we prepare leaders for that? Mm. We have to make them well-rounded. And then once they're well-rounded, of course, give them great, great tools to use to help their people be well-rounded. That's how we win.
Can
That's
I just jump in
win.
Here, Hans?
That's how we'll win in the future.
Can I just jump in here and Brenda? Sort of connect with what you are saying there? And I want to maybe I'm just looking for a easy way out, a formula for success. Everything in the end is fundamentally energy that we are mastering, even if it's emotional energy or intellectual energy. And I think the equation of Einstein, E equals MC square, we can use to actually maximize everybody's potential, E standing for the energy levels you're functioning on, because if we can heighten people's output, and this we can do through the DNA activation, equals M, that is usually the resistance we have in ourselves, that we have fear. But the wonderful part, and this is where it connects with what you were saying, Hans, in terms of awesome. C square, C is the symbol for light, the speed of light. And the speed of light, we can have to the power of two in terms of actually going out and shining who I am out there. So if we know how this works, and it's actually, as you said, it's very easy to write the programs and all the stats where this is concerned. That's a difficult part. But if we can help people to raise their own resonance and take back who they are, they will be shining much brighter and showing a path in the way of a world that is actually at this stage in a chaotic situation. Then we can use E equals MC square, because then each of us go out and make our own unique
Brenda,
mark.
I so agree with you. I so agree with you, you know, and fundamentally that's in my heart. For me, what has always been the challenge is, how do I take an esoteric concept like that and pitch it to a bank in London?
Well, then you and I must get together, Hans. We could turn the world upside down with this.
I totally agree with you, right? So how do I take an esoteric concept like that and package it in a way that helps an executive push out in his busy schedule?
Well, let me tell you, it's called technology.
These intersections, yeah, yeah.
It's called technology.
These intersections, of truth. You see, because now we're coming back to the truth conversation, because these intersections of what is really true. Because when you activate people's resonance and get their frequency up, you know, I'm saying when people are activated from love, their resonance and their frequency is the highest it can possibly be, right? But how do you take that esoteric concept and make it something that you can push out and scale in the world, in a predominantly selfish, industrialized world? Well, for me, this confluence of the truth, which is exactly what you just said now, Brenda, and technology is helping us actually do this, because I can put into a package a way for people to help other people get to a higher resonance. That's actually what I'm trying to do.
Well, that's excellent. I hope that you and I'll meet each other. Yeah.
You see what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying, Brenda?
Yeah, I hope we can meet.
Many times. And you know, I want to talk that level of talk.
Because I would like to share this with you. I've spent 10 years on
this. No, this is weird stuff, you know?
Yeah. Now, I spent 10 years researching this and actually getting to the technology part of how we can put these skills and tools and technology in the hands of the people, even in the Bank of London, and help them to raise their own resonance so that their influence is more powerful. And then at the same time, show the way for people that can follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a fantastic book on this. I just wanted sorry, Adria.
Go on.
Maybe this won't make it to the podcast.
quickly give us the book.
Okay, the book I wanted to say to you, just talking a little bit about what Brenda's been saying, is the most powerful book written by Eckhart Tolle, called A New Earth.
Yes.
He talks a little bit about how to, A New Earth. It's by Eckhart Tolle. He's a German philosopher, psychologist, and he writes a lot about changing ourselves so we can change the planet. So changing ourselves fundamentally, that we can make a new Earth, because he believes Earth is the most beautiful place. I think we all believe that. But fundamentally, it's how we are with ourselves and with the Earth that determines our experience of it. And so as we fundamentally change our paradigm, as we change our biases, as we actually see things the way they are, the truth that Brenda spoke about, then of course we can change everything. And I think that's what leadership is about. So, you know, using technology to bring people into a mindful place, let them really know so that they're not sitting on the bench wondering why they didn't make the team. These kinds of things are really powerful and very useful, I think, in the future.
Okay. Louis, thank you so much, Hans. Louis, 10 seconds, a final comment from the old man, then we need to end off.
No, I just see hope. I just see hope, Adrian. There's a lot of good things in this life, even in the world the way it is, but I believe hope can overcome all things.
Thank you so much, Louis Groenewald. That's Dr. Brenda Hutton and Hans Schulte all the way from the U.S. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And this technology transformation and leadership show was brought to you by CellC Business. Get 20 gigabytes of data and connect up to 14 SIMs for as little as 199 Rand a month on CellC's new smart data share, the ideal business data solution. CellC, the power is in your hands.
Introducing CellC's best data deal ever. Now you can save big and double your data with CellC's three new smart data share promotional offers. And to add to that, you get 1,000 free minutes on CellC's exclusive Wi-Fi calling. But that's not all. You can share the data across as many as 14 devices. You get all this and only have to pay one bill. Get it in store now. CellC, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
This is CliffCentral.com.